Gospel of Luke, chapter number 5, and it's been a great day. I've enjoyed so much being here and just seeing so many folks. And one of the ladies last night said, "Now, how long ago did you leave here?" And I thought, it's been 20 years and since I actually was no longer a member of this church. And 20 years, cannot believe how time flies. And this place has just remained a very important part of my life and my heart. And I love being here, and it's such an honor for me to share this great weekend with you guys. And, you know, that message, that song really says it all. You know, the demands of Scripture can seem hard if you're trying to live them in your own power and your own strength. But when you realize it's just in dependence and submission on the Lord for His daily sufficient grace. And His grace is more than enough for us when we yield to Him and we just avail ourselves of it. I want to go ahead and read tonight, and we're going to look in a great story in the Gospels about our Lord. In chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 together. And it says, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Him," talking about Jesus, "to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, let me just say this, just for sake of understanding. The lake of Gennesaret, the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, you read about all three of these in the gospel, they're all the same body of water. It's just three different names. And so Gennesaret, Tiberias, Galilee, it's all the Sea of Galilee. It's that one body of water that's about 13 or 14 miles long and about 7 miles wide. And so much of what's going on in the New Testament is really happening in this very, very small area of real estate. And Jesus was sitting there on that shore, and He was speaking to the people. It's kind of like a natural amphitheater. And He's down next to the water, and they're along the hills. And it says in verse 2, they pressed upon Him. And in verse 2, "And He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and He prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and He taught the people out of the ship." Now it says ship, but I don't want you to have this picture of this huge iron ship. We're really talking about a boat, a small fishing boat. And just a small ship, a small boat that maybe you could put 10 guys in. And it says, "Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to Him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him." You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith comes by hearing. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And in Romans 10:17, it tells us the source of our faith is the Bible. It says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And really, if you think about it in its simplest explanation, faith is just simply taking God at His word. Amen. It's hearing what God says, and it's acting upon it. That's really what faith is. So why is it that people don't then? Why sometimes do we not take those steps of faith? And in a sense, we have this fear of faith. You know, what keeps the young Christian couple that both understand that, you know, it's wrong for them to be living together without being married, and they know that's what the Bible teaches, and they know that's what God would want, what keeps them from doing it? Okay, think about this. What keeps the teenage girl who knows really that her dad should be a great source of leadership in her life, And she likes some boy, you know, and her dad's saying, honey, I think you need to drop back and punt. I just don't think that's the guy. And, you know, what keeps that girl from feeling like if she does what her dad tells her to do, that somehow her life will be empty and she'll never recover and she might as well join a convent because this is the love of her life? What keeps her from doing what the Bible clearly teaches her she ought to do? How about husbands and wives? What keeps a man or the woman from humbling themselves and when they're in that strife in their relationship? And what keeps themselves from humbling themselves to their mate in order to make peace in the home? What is it? What keeps us sometimes from doing what we obviously know the Bible says we ought to do? Often it's the fear of the outcome. It's the fear of faith. The fear of taking God at His word and acting upon it. And you see in our story, here's Jesus and He's teaching this multitude of people. And there's so many, there's pressing on Him. Basically, they're pushing Him out into the water. And so He wants to borrow Peter's boat for a pulpit. And so He gets the boat and He says, Peter, I want you to thrust out a little bit from the shore. And Jesus sits down in the boat and begins to teach the people. And when He's done teaching, He turns His attention from the crowd and now He turns it to the individual. And by the way, the Lord loves dealing with an individual a whole lot more than He loves dealing with a crowd. And by the way, even when we're together in a crowd, God is dealing with the individual. You ever notice that? It's like, He was just talking just to me. That's what the Lord does. The Lord deals with us one on one. And so He turns from the crowd and He turns to Peter. And He really gets to the real meat of this occasion. And He says, Peter, I want you to thrust out into the deep. We're going to go back to fishing. Peter's the professional fisherman. And he just got done cleaning his nets, just about done. He was out fishing all night. The best time to fish is at night there, not in the daytime. They didn't take in anything. And here's Jesus telling him to thrust out. And I know what he was probably thinking in his mind. Why do preachers always think they know everything about everything? Now, Pastor Dan is not like that. You guys build buildings. I go, Pastor Dan? I said, Dan, how much did it cost to build that building? He says, I don't know. You'll have to ask the bookkeeper, you know? He's like, I was joking with him. Dad said, you know how big the small part of that building is? He said, no. I said, it's 50 by 97. I measured it yesterday. And because I loved it. He said, Mike, you know the difference between me and you? You love details. I really don't care. You know, certain details. Trust me, around here, he cares about the details. But you know, the reality is, here's Peter, but he says, Master, that term of respect, Rabbi, nevertheless, at your word. And he says, you know what? I know this is a waste of time, but out of respect, I'm going to do it. And when he does it, and Jesus said, cast in the nets. And you notice the Bible says he cast in the net. So he's kind of meek and impartial. And he threw it in. There were so many fish that the net was starting to break. And Peter had to call the partners in the other boat to come. And between the two of them, both of their ships were ready to sink. And Peter finally, in repentance for his lack of faith, fell on his face. And he's just like, Lord, I'm not worthy of you. Get out of here. And Jesus says, no, Peter, fear not. Because I'm going to do something new in your life. And from now on, you're not just going to catch fish. You're going to catch men. And when they got to the shore, it says they forsook all and they followed him. You know, I love this quote. I heard it years ago from Chuck Swindoll. And he said this, we are all faced with a series of great opportunities that are brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. And you know, so often the fear of faith or what it is that God desires for us keeps us from some of the great blessings of obedience that await us. So really my question tonight is, how do we overcome this fear of stepping into the unknown? The fear of taking risks for the Lord. The fear of faith. How do we as Christians, as we are daily growing in our faith, and by the way, I've learned this in my walk with the Lord, is things will just be going along just at a normal, gentle flow. Just life is just happening as life would happen. Walking in fellowship with the Lord. And then all of a sudden, God will pounce something down in front of us that just makes us step back and reevaluate the whole thing. And sometimes we'll get off course and we'll go around that thing. We'll head in another direction. But you know what? If we're going to go on with the Lord in growth, He always brings us back to the place of departure. And He always brings us back to that thing that was the object of our fear when it comes to faith. And I believe in this story here that Jesus tells us about Him and Peter, He gives us really some great principles of overcoming this fear of faith. The first principle is this, that we have to be willing to first launch out a little. I love it. He says, Peter, launch out a little. Don't you think before He told him to launch out a little, He knew He was going to get him to launch out a lot? But He probably figured if I deal with Peter right here, Peter, you know, he's very emotionally responsive. He's been toiling all night. He might not listen. So I'm just going to get him to go out a little bit. You know, the Lord doesn't put more on us than we can bear. But gradually, He fits us for each task. I love what He said in Exodus. He was leading the children of Israel into the promised land, and this is under Moses. And He tells them how when He leads them to the land, the victories they're going to have and how that is their land, and He's promising it to them. But He said this in Exodus 23 and verse 30. I love it. He said, by little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. You know what God said? It's your land. I'm leading you into it, but you're not going to get it all at once. I'm going to lead you there a little bit at a time until you're increased, until you are able to deal with it. And you understand what God wants from us so many times in our growth in faith is not that He wants us to dive off a cliff without a parachute. Sometimes He just wants us to stick our toe in the water just to kind of take that first baby step of faith. And as He fits us and He prepares us for that first step, He continued to grow us and increase us until He can completely satisfy us with that plan and that purpose He has for our lives. You know, I was thinking about this with Cheryl and I raising our niece and our nephew, CJ, Jessica. Jessica, I mentioned this morning, is married now, and she's in her 20s. CJ's 19. He just finished his first year of college. And at the time when they were about 10 years ago last week or 2 weeks ago, they came to live with us. We had an 11-month-old and we had an almost 4-year-old. Juliana's almost 14 now and she was just about 4. And we brought these two kids to live in our house. You say, that was a huge step. But you know when God started preparing that step? Years earlier. You see, even right after we got married, we began getting CJ and Jessica 1 week and a month and just kind of taking care of them. And we'd get them at holidays and we'd get them at the summer. And you know what? God began preparing us one step at a time so that by the time they came to live with us permanently in our home, He had prepared us to deal with it. And by the way, that was probably one of the hardest thing we ever have done in our married life. Was bringing two preteens into the house when you have two small children. And the attention they demand away from your children and the wrestling match that Cheryl had to go through with that. And then so much of the difficulties in raising children have been through some problems and they sometimes take it out on you. And I can remember some of the really, really, really bad moments. I remember being in the lobby at Palm Coast Parkview Baptist Church. And I had spoke on a Wednesday night, and I got out into the lobby, and I'm ready to see Greg Peters, you know, going to have some fellowship after church. And I remember Cheryl saying, Mike, she goes or I go? That was about 2 or 3 years into it. And I mean, we had some moments, some crisis moments. And I remember sitting down with her and saying, Cheryl, you remember whose decision this was? Both of our decisions. Cheryl, did you believe this was God's will when we did it? Yeah. Remember we went in counsel with Dr. Shoemaker and we laid out all the pros and cons and we really felt like this is what? Yeah. I said, Cheryl, do you really want to leave? Do you really want to go through that? I was like, oh, please don't go because I'm going with you. And, you know, tell the girls that all the time. Mom leaves, that's fine, but I'm going with her, you know. She's not leaving me here. I'm taking my girls, too. I didn't mean that. It was no. But you know what? What a blessing. Got out of church this morning. I was looking at my text I missed, and there it was, CJ. Happy Father's Day. You know what? It's just a blessing. We got to spend Jessica's due with a baby in November. And yesterday, was that yesterday? Friday. 2 days ago. I don't remember. One day, we were with her and got to go with the sonogram. And you know, it's just, it's like you're starting to enjoy the fruit of those decisions. But here's the point. To overcome the fear of faith and doing large things that God places within us, you have to be willing to first launch out a little. Just a little bit. Just a little step of faith. He said, Peter, launch out a little. And here's the second principle we see. As you're taking these steps of faith, you have to base your steps on the Word of God, not your own ability or resources. Peter had his own ability and resources. He was a professional fisherman. You know, and so many times pride can get in the way of what it is that God wants to do in our lives. Peter could have said, I'm a fisherman, I know what I'm doing, you're a preacher, you stick to your business, I'll stick to my business. And Peter could have said, and sometimes it's the pride of adequacy. It's the pride of, I know what I'm doing, I know how this works, Lord, what you're saying doesn't make sense, or what the Bible is suggesting, I'm just not going to do it. The pride of adequacy. Sometimes it's the pride of inadequacy. It's just as much pride. It's not having an inflated view of yourself. It's having a deflated view of yourself. But in both cases, it's having too much of a focus on yourself. And sometimes it's you're too good for it or too knowledgeable or it just doesn't make sense and rises up to the level of your ability. Other times it's inability, it's fear of it, as we spoke about this morning. But you know, Peter's sitting there and he said, Master, we have toiled all night long and we have taken nothing. But there's not a period there, there's a colon. He said, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know what Peter was saying? I don't understand this. I don't understand how this could work. I've been out fishing. I have been there. I have done this. The nets are clean. I'm ready for bed. We've already tried this. But he said, nevertheless, at your word. You see, we have to base our steps on the word of God, not on our own ability or resources. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You see, we have to learn to acknowledge Him. And how do we acknowledge the Lord? By taking heed to His Word. And as we build our lives upon the book, and by the way, everything we say ultimately is going to come back to building your life on the foundation of the Word of God. Peter didn't have understanding. He didn't believe it was a good move. He didn't really think this is what he ought to do, but he said, Nevertheless, Lord, according to your word. It's your word. This is what you have said. This is what I will do. So, Pastor Mike, I have his word in front of me, but I just don't know that I have enough faith to make those steps of obedience. I love what he said to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul. He said, If there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath and not what he hath not. And he's speaking about grace giving there. You know what? God takes the steps of faith that he places within us. And as we build our lives on the Word of God and as we study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. As we meditate upon these things and as we give ourselves wholly to them and as we act upon the faith that we have and we take those first baby steps of faith and we do it not because we feel adequate, not because we understand it all, but simply because it is what God said He desires for us to do. How do we overcome the fear of stepping into the unknown? Taking steps of faith. Launch out a little. Base your steps on the Word of God, not your own ability or resources. And then in the midst of it, of necessity, you're going to come to this principle where you need to seek the help and support of like-minded friends. He's out there. He let down the net in verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. See, Jesus said nets. They said net. And so they kind of complicated it a little bit. But what did he do in the midst of his turmoil? He wasn't so prideful that he let his ship go down. Verse 7 says, they beckoned to their partners. They had partners in this business venture. There was two ships. And they beckoned. And Peter, James, and John were on the one boat, and they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You know, Peter realized that he needed his partners in the other boat. And this is something that frustrates me as a pastor, and I want to rip my hair out, or somebody's hair out. You know, I see so often where an individual or a family is facing a problem or a challenge, or maybe just a fear of what God seems to be putting in their path, and they don't get help. They wait till there is this major crisis. And then they come when the ship is sinking and the water is up to the edge, and now they come running for help. And you know, that's good. Whatever time when we need to recognize the importance of help from others and we get it, is a good thing. You know, wouldn't it be a whole lot better when we enter into the midst of the difficult circumstance that we're being led to, sometimes by the Lord or sometimes allowed by the Lord, that we go and we seek our partners, like-minded believers in faith, people, spiritual men and women in our lives. Iron sharpens iron, bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. You know, I love this verse back in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 in verses 9 and 10, great verses of encouragement. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, God says, two are better than one. And wherever we got the idea that we're to sit in the midst of the water coming into our boat and getting ready to sink and not reaching out for help but from like-minded people, you know, is foreign to Scripture. You see, we need to learn if we're going to overcome that fear of the unknown in faith and the steps that are placed in front of us that we have to seek the help and the support of like-minded friends. I met a lady last week and I was in a neighborhood and she was out and we had tons of rain over in Tampa a week or so ago. I don't know how it was here. And her and her husband picked that week to do these beautiful pavers in their driveway. And they had one long straight driveway, and then they had a circle driveway. And the long one was done, and it was beautiful when there was all these pallets of paver stones along the curb. And then there was that rounded one with all that sand base and all that rain coming down. And I went up to the lady, and I said, how are you doing? I says, man, those are beautiful pavers. And she had this totally dejected look in her face. And she says, this has been the worst week of our life. Just this rain is driving us crazy. This lady didn't look like she had slept in all week. And they picked this week. They had it set aside. They were going to do this work. And they invested all this money. And they'd just been watching the rain wash out the base and looking at the bricks on the pallet just sit there, unable to get it done. And I thought this, if there ever was someone who needed some friends to help, it was that lady right then. And spiritually, I see people like this all the time. And typically, it's right after church, and they go into the lobby, and they're just kind of hovering on the sideline. And they come, and they say, Pastor Mike, can we talk? And you're like, yeah, what's going on? And they just unload problems that have been building up for months. And now they come to you, and my wife left me last night. We're not living together. Man, I lost my job because I didn't deal with this situation right. And now it's this crisis. You know, maybe there's some of you right now, that's why you're here tonight. Because you're on the precipice of a great crisis in your life. Some of you, it just may be the seed of a crisis that's just now being sown. You know what? You need to seek the help and the support of like-minded friends, because two are better than one. And there's spiritual leaders in this church and brothers and sisters in Christ that can be a great help to you. And you know, we can feel like that lady I mentioned when the Lord is putting something in front of us that seems like it's more that we can handle. You know, in that time, we need help. We need prayer. We need encouragement. We need maybe just a word from the Bible that someone can point out to us. And we need this to overcome this fear of faith, the fear of following the Lord's will for us when it doesn't make sense to us. We need to seek the support of others in our difficulty. And then, you know, this is something that just seems like it's true in every circumstance God leads us through, this fourth principle. It's when it's all said and done, we just have to give the Lord the glory that's due His name. Here's Peter. God is leading him down the step. Peter says no. He takes a halfway step. The Lord overwhelms him with blessing. And Peter, it says, is astonished, and he falls on his face before God, and he says, "Jesus, I am a sinful man. Just depart from me." You see, the Lord had come through in such a miraculous manner that Peter was completely overwhelmed with the glory of what he had done, his abundance, and there was amazement and astonishment, and he just fell down in front of the Lord. I thought about this when I was looking at this passage, and I thought it to myself, and I want to ask you to consider it. When is the last time you have been astonished by something that God has done in your life? That's just been so overwhelming that you have just been amazed by what God has done in your life. And I can promise you this, I can tell you that it was the last time that you probably took some great risk for the Lord in faith. The last time, and you know, when I say a great risk, I'm not saying selling your house and move to Africa. I'm saying just pick up the Word of God, and where it just gives you to study to show yourself approved, and you decided you were going to take a risk and actually start studying the Bible. Consistently, daily. God's Word said it. Faith is simply acting upon God's Word said. So why don't we do it? Why don't we overcome that fear of faith? We'd be amazed at what God will do in those moments. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. It's about the glory of God. It's about magnifying His presence and His person in our life. It's about allowing God to accomplish things in our lives that maybe cannot be explained any other way other than by faith. Just any step of faith that we make in response to the Word of God. And we just see God come through. And we just become amazed by His presence and His glory. And then you know what it leads to? And this is the final thing. And this is so important, I believe. That God's ultimate purpose really is far greater than the immediate concern that we face. God didn't really care about fish. He cared about Peter's future. Because He took those fish to so overwhelm Peter that Peter fell down in worship and abandonment to Him and said, "Lord, whatever You want, I'll do it." And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." And I love what the Bible says. They got to the land and they just forsook all and they followed Him. You see, God was not interested in fish. He was interested in Peter's future. What were the Lord's objectives in this? First of all, He wanted him to rearrange his priorities. Sometimes God is dumping something in our lap simply because we're in a rut and He wants to get us out of the rut. He wants us to rearrange our priorities. He doesn't want fishing to be more important than our fellowship with Him. He wasn't interested in fish. He was interested in Peter, in him following Him. And God often just wants us to rearrange our priorities. Second, He wanted him to reevaluate his possessions. Now, I love this. This is a fisherman who his business was fish. He got the most fish. This was the best business venture he had ever had. And this, he had closed the greatest deal ever. And he had two boats that were ready. Man, they could pay off the loan on their boats, man. And this was the haul they had been waiting for. You know what it says when they got to land? They forsook all and followed him. That means they left those fish in the boats. Don't you think Peter walked away kind of pulling out his iPhone? Let me get a picture first, you know. He didn't have an iPhone, but whatever they had, I don't know. Don't you think so? But God wanted him to reevaluate his possessions. He wanted him to realize that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. He wanted him to rearrange his priorities, wanted him to reevaluate his possessions, and ultimately he wanted him to redefine his purpose. He says, don't be afraid. From henceforth you will catch men. Peter, I have a purpose for you that is far greater than the obstacle that I have just brought you through. The obstacles or difficulties or opportunities that God places in front of us are more than not the end. They're the means to the end. They're the attention getter that he uses in our life to rearrange our priorities and reevaluate our possessions and discover our purpose and where God can launch us off in his will. One of the guys came up to me this morning. And he said he substituted a class or something. He said he's really been holding out on that thing and not sure. And God just gave him that step of faith. You know, someone wants to find failure in life as this. Listen to this. I think it's penetrating. It's living without knowing what life is about, feeding on things that do not satisfy, thinking you have everything only to find out in the end you have nothing that matters. And so many times the step of faith that God has placed in our path may very well be God's means of saving us from a life of failure. That thing we're afraid of, that thing we're running from, that thing that God has placed in front of us, that absolutely could be God's means of delivering us from a life of failure, an inadequate life, a life not lived for His purposes and His glory. And see, the fear you face in stepping out oftentimes is Satan's attempt to keep you in bondage rather than living by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I love what Paul said to Timothy. Timothy had insurmountable, just huge difficulties as a young pastor at Ephesus. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Power, that spiritual fortitude that comes from Christ, that love of God and others that is our highest ambition, and that sound mind that comes from basing our life and our decisions upon the Word of God. And see, the Lord, He wants us to overcome this fear of faith or this unknown, these difficulties or these opportunities He puts in front of us. Why? So that He can lead us on to higher ground. It's a means to His end of the spiritual development that is taking place in our lives. They forsook the nets. They followed Him. That's what He was trying to bring about. Here's really what it comes down to. This is kind of the takeaway. Just quickly. Number one, identify the challenge in your life. What is the thing right now the Holy Spirit is just putting His finger on? Talking to a crowd that God loves dealing with individuals. What is it? Put your finger on what God is putting His finger on right now in your heart. Identify the challenge. And here's the second thing you need to do. Get God's Word on the subject. What has God had to say about it? Seek through prayer the mind of Jesus Christ, which you already have as a believer. Maybe seek some godly counsel from Bible teachers and leaders in your life. Get God's Word on the subject. Number three, enlist the help of others, prayer support, encouragement. Iron sharpens iron. Maybe there's others that God is leading you to accomplish His purpose with. And four, and this is huge, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself like Peter did before Him. And then ultimately, what you need to do is just do the right thing by faith. Simply, this is what God's word says. I am going to act upon it. What's the difficulty? What's the challenge that God has placed before you as a believer? You know what? It may just seem like a small challenge. It may seem like a huge challenge. But it's the Lord taking and putting those stepping stones of faith in front of us. Why? To lead us to those higher purposes that He has ordained for each and every one of us. Let's bow together tonight.